Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study, Revelation chapter 12. I've been looking forward to this one. I love this chapter. Symbolism. You look at all these symbols here. We got a woman and a dragon, and she's going to have a baby and stars and all this stuff. And the book of Revelation, in case you haven't noticed, has all these amazing symbols in it, but yet aren't they real? Oh, absolutely. We're going to see here a dragon with seven heads and ten horns. That's not just some metaphor. Of John was writing in this. See, I learned this in Bible college. Okay, the esteemed professor was saying, John was writing in a group of literature called apocalyptic literature, using apocalyptic language, and he was actually describing the people of his day and the Roman emperor that he couldn't write about, you know, in plain language. So he gave him all these metaphors, like a beast and a dragon with seven heads. How grotesque. See, you learn all that stuff in your Bible college, and you're going, oh, really? You mean it doesn't? No, it doesn't really mean that. Oh, yeah, it does. It means exactly what it says. There is a woman. It's not just a symbol for something. Even though it is a symbol for something, it's not just that. It is a woman. It's real. In fact, it's more real than you and I when we get into understanding who this woman is, who's this baby she's going to have, this dragon and these stars. What is it? Is that just a metaphor? No. It's more than that. It is God showing you what things look like. And I want to ask you the question, and you believe probably what I believe, in John chapter 3, when Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, truly, truly, twice, Old Testament, New Testament, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus, of course, knew, and Nicodemus never heard this before. Lord, explain, how can I go back to my mother's womb? I don't understand that. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so we understand that we are born the first time from our earthly mother. I had an earthly father and an earthly mother. That's just how it works. And but I had to be, in order for me to have eternal life, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. So it had to be born of spirit. What does that look like? I believe in the born again experience. I believe in being born again. What does that look like? The Bible's going to teach you. There's always, God draws pictures. Let me show you what this looks like. And God draws a picture of it in the pages of the Scriptures so we can have understanding. The first thing I want to do is, let's look at the language here of Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. I was reading, in fact, I want you to take your Bible, turn to Joel 2 and Acts 2. I read a lot of stuff, read a lot of, you know, websites and people's articles about, you know, the signs and wonders in heaven. I bet that's going to be UFOs, and I bet, you know, that's talking about astrology and then this and that and the other. And people gave all these things because Joel chapter 2 makes a promise. He prophesies of what is going to appear, what's going to happen when the Spirit is poured out. And Joel chapter 2, verse 30, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And so I believe that's part of the wonders package that is referring to blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. when Peter quoted this, and I always like to point this out to you, that not everything that Joel said was prophesied to happen, happened on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2:17, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above. Stop right here. Revelation 12, verse 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven. So when I read this several years ago, I thought, there's the wonder right there. It says there appeared a great wonder in heaven. In other words, it hasn't always been there, but it's appearing now. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you have Joel and Acts open together, you'll see that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And in Joel, there's a colon there because the sentence is not done. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. And here, Paul cut it off in mid-sentence. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is similar to Jesus in Luke chapter 4. They gave him the roll of the book. And it was Isaiah. 66 chapters in Isaiah. 66 chapters, 66 books in the Word of God. So there's that connection there. So Jesus now has the book in his hand. It's been given to him. And he stands up and he reads from Isaiah 61. And he says, God has ordained me to preach the gospel to the poor, to set captives free, and all this stuff. And when he got done reading halfway through the verse, he closed the book. He sat down and said, this day is this prophecy fulfilled in your ears. In other words, there's half of that verse in Isaiah 61 that Jesus closed the book on. He wasn't coming at his first coming to fulfill everything, but he comes again to fulfill everything. So he reads part of the prophecy, cuts it off mid-sentence, closes the book, and says, I'm fulfilling this right now. When he returns, he's going to fulfill the rest of it. And so, same thing with Joel in Acts. You see, all this stuff related to, there's Joel's army coming out. There's a very, very evil army. That's not the good guys. I did a video on this. If you haven't seen it, if you've ever heard, oh, we're Joel's army. We are the manifest sons of God. We're going to take over. And we're going to be Superman. No, I started reading that and I'm going, no, that's actually the description of the locusts that rise up out of the bottomless pit. No, that's not for us. But people have attributed that. Who's the guy? He kicks everybody in the stomach. Todd Bentley. And some of these others are attributing that to the race of the new breed of Superman that God's going to raise up in the last days. That's a setup. But anyway, you have all this stuff going on in the book of Joel. You have a prophesy that there's going to be signs in heaven, wonders in heaven. And there's going to be blood and fire and vapors of smoke, and the sun's going to be dark and the moon's turned to blood. And that didn't happen in Acts chapter 2. God poured his Spirit out. But the rest of the stuff didn't happen. And if you'll notice, Peter just quit quoting that passage right halfway through the sentence. The sentence wasn't done. That means God's not fulfilled everything yet, but he's going to. But here's kind of what I wanted to convey. And I think it's an important lesson for us to learn. When God said that there's going to be wonders in the heaven, the place that you should look in order to correctly identify what those wonders are, is the Scriptures. It's not, I think it's like there's going to be these giant meteors, and I think there's going to be aliens coming, and I think it's irrelevant what people think. If you're looking for what the wonders are, look in the Scripture. There appeared a great wonder in the heaven. You say, well, Pastor, they said there was wonders. Look in verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. Well, that's plural. So right here in Revelation 12, you see the wonders that are in the heavens. All right? So I believe that Revelation 12 matches with Joel and Acts. Now, let's stop right here. And I hadn't planned on doing this, but I feel like showing you this. We've covered already, in a significant way, this issue of the sun turning to darkness and the moon into blood, and also at that time, the stars are falling. You see it in Isaiah. In fact, let's do this. I know what Isaiah 13 says, because it says that at the time that the sun is darkened and the moon turns to blood and the stars don't give their light, there's a woman that's going to have a baby. So in Isaiah 13, it says in verse 8, they shall be afraid, pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them, and they shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. And then in verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light, and the sun be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. So here we have the same thing here. We have what God promised, that there would be wonders in heaven, that the sun would be darkened, the moon would not give her light or be turned to blood, and the stars would fall. That is, let's go to, let's see here, Matthew 24. He said in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. He's going to be clothed with clouds. And this is linked with a travailing woman, because he talks about, for then are the days of sorrows. It's in sorrow that a woman gives birth. Then you can look at Revelation 6, at the opening of the seals. And it says here, in verse 12, and I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Think of the mighty wind. That what is the disciples here on the day of Pentecost at the first outpouring? So there's going to be a mighty wind, the sun's going to be darkened, the moon's turned to blood, the stars are going to fall, there's going to be a mighty rushing wind again, like it's shaking the fig tree, and the figs, untimely figs are falling off, and it's all in relation to a woman who's in travail, who's going to have a baby. To me, and you may not agree with that, and I trust and honor your disagreement, I really do. You know me if you've watched me any length of time. I really love King James Bible believers. It's not that I don't love anybody else, but anybody who will stand for this book, I salute you, and I honor you, and I thank God for you, whether we agree on everything or not. Some people don't like what I say about stuff like this. That's fine. But I love this book, and I revere this book, and I'm trying to do everything I can to show everybody there's one book, and it's right in everything that it says. So anyway, just forbear with me, long suffer with me, if you would, okay? But in my mind, unless there's like three or four times when the sun's darkened and the moon's turned to blood and the stars fall, it looks to me like in Scripture, this is all one event. That's what it looks like to me. And I know you say, but that makes sense, because, you know, the pre-tribulation, or, you know, just, again, I'm going to ask you, just forget about those terms. Forget about that idea. And just follow the Scriptures and follow how the Scriptures trying to tie everything together. I admit that I don't have it all discerned out, and I can't draw the map like the Loazzo brothers did or Larkin's done. I can't do that. But I clearly see a connection of things gathered together, grouped together here. The sun being darkened. Matthew 24, Isaiah 13, a travailing woman. 1 Thessalonians 5, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. and they shall not escape. Revelation 6, the stars shall fall as a figs, untimely figs from a fig tree, shaken of a mighty wind. They heard a rushing mighty wind on the day of Pentecost. Speaking of the day of Pentecost, the sun's going to be darkened and the moon's going to be turned to blood. And there's going to be wonders in heaven. That brings us back to Revelation 12. Now remember last week when I dealt with verse 19 that the Israel now for the first time is going to see the Ark of the New Covenant, the Ark of the Testament. It's not the Old Testament. It is not the Old Testament. Can't be. That has been done away. The Scripture plainly says it. It is the Ark of His Testament, His promise, His covenant to them that they can be saved by grace. And there's an earthquake here, great hail, all these things. But now Israel's having the blinders lifted off. Now something's going to happen for them. Something's going to happen for Israel. The reproach that they've been carrying now some 2,000 years, the inheritance that they could not gain, their land, their promise, like Naomi, they can now have it because God has raised up seed unto Israel through the Gentile woman, like Ruth. So a baby's going to be born. Remember Obed. Go read that story. Ruth has Obed and says, here you go, Naomi. Here you go, Naomi. It's your baby. It's your baby. You're now redeemed. Now you can have all your land. Boy, that's beautiful. And God fulfilled His covenant through the birth of the man-child. I did a Watchman video on this about a year or two ago. If you can find it, go watch it. I encourage you to go see it as we do this study, because we're going to be here a little while. So go back and watch this study of the birth of the man-child. Think of all these women in the Bible that couldn't have a baby. Think of Sarah. Okay, and how was it that God removed Sarah's reproach? He gave her the promised child, Isaac. It wasn't through Ishmael, it was Isaac. Hannah. Peninnah? She's knocking kids out right and left, okay? She's like Mrs. Duggar. I mean, she's having kids everywhere. Hannah has a reproach on her. And all she wants is, God, just give me one child. Take away my reproach. God gives her a child. Then He gives her like seven more. I think that's cool. Okay? But now her reproach is gone. She can have a baby. The Shunammite woman can't have a baby. And God blesses her, gives her a baby. But the baby died. But he got resurrected. She can have her baby now. Manoah's wife, Samson's mother, never had a baby, couldn't have a baby. But she now has the Nazarite. Okay? And he's the judge, and he offers his life. He makes like a cross, puts arm around the pillar, and said, let me die with the Philistines. I love that. So anyway, just keep that in mind as we look at who this woman is. Some of the scholars say, well, this is the nation of Israel, and just hang with me, all right? I'm not here to try to prove everybody wrong, but let's look beyond just the nation of Israel. Let's see who this woman is, all right? Now, before we get into that, let's look at some other verses that apply to these wonders, how God's going to use these wonders. Deuteronomy 4:34, or God, hath God essayed to go and take up a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, by wonders, by war, and by a mighty hand, that would be the right hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And so when God delivers His people, there's always wonders and signs and wars and big calamities going on, but God is preserving His people throughout that. Deuteronomy 7:19, same thing. The great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders, and the mighty hand, and the stretched out arm whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them, until they that are left and hide themselves from thee shall be destroyed. The hornet. Think of things that sting, like the sting of death, like the locusts who have the sting of scorpions. Okay, that's what I think that's a reference to. And God's going to basically eliminate all their enemies by sending the hornets, the stingers after them. Because what is it about a hornet that we're afraid of? The wings? Nah. Do they bite? No. Okay? We're afraid of the... I mean, full-grown man. Tough, man. Been in bar fights. Got scars all over him. Waltz comes out after him. Or maybe that's just me. Anyway. Let's see here. Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. There is nothing too hard for thee. Thou shewest loving kindness unto thousands and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name, great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Think of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's the fruit of man's doings. It's the Antichrist is simply the product of everybody's sins. That's who he is. He is the fruit of their doings. Which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. There it is. Signs and wonders. Even unto this day and in Israel among other men, and has made thee a name as at this day, and has brought, see right now, Israel does not know the name of their God. They do not know the name of their God. It's Jesus. And has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm and with great terror, and has given them this land which thou didst swear to their fathers, and give them a land flowing with milk and honey. So again, when God is ready to save Israel, he shows wonders. So this is what we're looking at here, Revelation 12. Even in Acts chapter 2, this is part of what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves know. And one of the things to understand about Israel, at least they're consistent, because every time God showed massive miracles and signs and wonders, they said, we don't believe you. And they didn't. They turned their back every chance they could get against God, including sending his only son down to them. Showed them miracles, raising Lazarus from the dead. And the Sanhedrin, my goodness, the Sanhedrin, raising Lazarus from the dead. They're not going, that's our God. Only God can have that power. They're going, we got to get rid of this guy. He's raising people from the dead. That's hurting us. What imbeciles those guys were. So anyway, and then, here's what's the opposite spectrum of that. 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. The mystery of iniquity is the exact opposite of the mystery of godliness. I started making notes for like a future Watchmen broadcast called The Mystery of Iniquity. And so far it's pretty good. The mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now, to me, this is very, very interesting. Think of Jacob and Esau. Two boys born at roughly the same time. They were twins, although they were not twins. Think of Zerah and Perez. Think of the typology of Jacob and Esau. Esau, God says, I hate you. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. But I love Jacob. Think of, and they were born practically at the same time. Esau, of course, being born first. Zerah being born first, but Perez receives... You know, he causes the breach. So the lineage of Christ is actually through Perez and not Zerah. So think of a revelation now. My daughter Lindsay is about 3 weeks from giving birth. She won't tell anybody his name. Her and her husband, they've already figured the name out. They won't even tell her mom. They won't tell anybody. So we don't know this boy. He's hidden right now. some point he's going to be revealed. And they're going to say, his name is Wonderful, or whatever, okay? Jethro, we call him Jethro. He's going to be revealed. And you have the mystery of iniquity, the exact opposite of the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. So who's going to be manifest in the flesh here? Satan, because that's who's working him. And he will be revealed. That wicked shall be revealed. So I see a birthing of two children here. I see a birthing of and revealing of Antichrist, the coming of the Antichrist. Remember, Anno et Coeptis, Novus Ordo Seclorum, he favors the birth of a new world order. Just like, and he's coming up out of the sea. How are babies born? They come through seawater. Uterine water is salt water. It's ocean water. It's what it is. The womb has salt water in it. And it issues, waters issue forth out of the earth, just like out of a womb, the Bible says in the book of Job. So the earth is going to give birth to this Antichrist. Meanwhile, there's something the opposite that's going to give birth to this man-child who's going to rule all nations with a rod of iron. It's the exact opposite of the earth. Who is or what is the exact opposite of the earth? Let's look at the verses again. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. We're going to deal with every one of these symbols, but not today. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Let's go back now. We have a woman. That's what it says. That's the language of the King James. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. And she gives birth to a baby. Listen to Genesis 2:22. First time the word woman is used. Why was it called that? The rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her into the man. And I didn't have the next verse there, but the very next verse says, actually verse 23. Yeah, the very next verse. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So where does the word woman come from? It comes from the fact that she was taken out of man. So think about in terms of where the wonder is appearing in heaven. Not on earth. It's appearing in heaven. A woman. Where does she come from? She came from God. That's who she came from. And he says in verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. His father and his mother. Ask yourself the question. Where did Jesus come from?
Mommy, where do babies come from?
Ask yourself, where does little baby Jesus come from? We know who his earthly mother was. It was Mary, a virgin. And no, all you Mormons, God didn't knock on her door and say, hey, baby, let me in. Okay? If he would have done that, she wouldn't have been a virgin anymore. This violates Scripture for you to just go off and say stupid stuff like that. That's sick. The Bible didn't say, you know how Jesus got there? The Holy Ghost came upon her, and she conceived. That's how it happened. Okay? Can't explain it beyond that, but that's how it happened. And so So we know God was his father on this earth. Mary was his mother. That was his first coming. He says in Hebrews 10, a body hast thou prepared me. What is his second coming? Because he was born flesh and blood, and flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We're going to deal with that later on, but I want you to think along these terms. Who is Jesus' mother? Who is, for that matter, who is the mother of my second birth? Who is that? Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Do you see that? You see the prophecy here. It's a picture of Christ. Who is his father? God. Who is his mother? This woman is his mother. Who is this woman? The scriptures actually identify her. It's not like I'm reaching or grasping at straws or handling the word of God deceitfully. The Bible actually identifies who this woman is. It names her. She got a name. So let's look at it. So this concept, here's Jesus. At one day, he's going to leave his father and his mother. He's going to go get his bride. He's going to cleave to his wife. Okay? So, think of now this idea of the mother. Do you remember who the first mother was? Of course, it was Eve. Genesis 3:20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve. Why? Because she was the mother of all living. And so everybody that is ever, every human being that has ever existed came from Eve. There's nobody, and there has never been anybody else, either before that or after that, that came from some other source. The Bible does not teach that. She is the mother of all living. Bottom line is, if there was a human being, that human being came from Eve. There's no way around this. Notice here, I just looked at titles given to various Bible characters. Genesis 17:16, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be under her, be of her. You know who that is? It's the woman who couldn't have a baby, Sarah. Genesis 24:60, and they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. Here again, she's the mother of thousands of millions. It's a blessing. Here Sarah is, the mother of nations. Eve, the mother of all living. And then, I love this. I saw this one time and I went, oh, that is so beautiful. Isaac, he had a mother. Okay? And you remember when Isaac first saw Rebekah? Man, there's that woman. That's my wife. And Isaac, if you remember, was grieved over, this is Genesis 24, and Genesis 23, Sarah died. He's grieving his mother. Isaac's 40 years old, and he's grieving his mother. So he sees Rebekah on the 10 camels. And he looks at her. That's my wife. He runs like a bridegroom coming out of his closet. With joy. Verse 67 of Genesis 24. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. When you find out who this mother is, you're going to get this. So here we have Isaac, the promised, the son of promise. And he leaves his father and his mother, and he has his bride. And then he takes her where? To his mother's tent, his mother's dwelling place. So let's find out who the mother is. If you drink apple cider vinegar, you know what the mother is. I have some friends that were radio guys, Christian radio guys, Tim Behrens and Al Gross. Here in St. Louis, and every morning they would take a drink on air of Bragg's apple cider vinegar with the mother. And if you don't know what that is, it's this apple cider vinegar where they left the pulp from the apple in it, okay, and all the stuff in there, okay. It's kind of chunky a little bit, but it's vinegar. And it's real funny because your mouth waters every time. Okay, we're gonna take a drink now, and you'd be listening to it on the radio, and all of a sudden you'd hear them slurp, and then dead silence. For like 30 seconds, because they're going, we're trying to swallow this down. And you're listening to this, and water, saliva is all running down your chin and everything like that because of the sourness of it. Just that's what made me think of that. Bragg's apple cider vinegar with the mother. What's the mother? Let's find out who this mother is. Okay? It's actually very simple. Jesus had an earthly mother, and he was made under the law. So he died. And now he has a different mother. Son of another mother. Galatians 4:22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons. The one by a bondmaid. bondage under the law, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. Jesus, born of an earthly woman, born under the law after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? That means that they are a story with a higher meaning. For these are the two covenants, old and new, not the renewed old covenant, completely different covenant that God made. These are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai. So God's just making it very clear that he's referring to the Mosaic covenant, in which gendereth to bondage, because Hagar was a slave. Her son, though fathered, sired by Abraham, has no rights. This is something we don't quite understand, because we live in a post-slavery, post-like king world or whatever in America here. But I am reasonably sure that some of these plantation owners down south probably found him a nice black woman every now and then that he could abuse. She would conceive and get pregnant. You think that kid had rights? Not a chance in the world. Is that right? No, it's wrong. Of course it's wrong. But that's just the way it was. And here's this slave woman. She's not free. She's a slave. And Abraham goes into her. She conceives a child. And now she's mocking Sarah. Sarah has the baby. And Sarah says, you know what? You can't have this woman around here. She's mocking me. She can't have it. So he casts away the bondwoman and her child. He says, go on, get out of here. You can't have any part in this, in my inheritance. No inheritance for you whatsoever. Boy, that's strong language. And it just, to me, all these people that are being hooked into going back to keep Torah, and, oh, we got to obey all the laws, or as many as we can, because that honors God. It's not. They're hoodwinking you into, back into bondage again. God said the Mount Sinai covenant is bondage. That's God's words. That's not mine. That's what God said. So, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. Hagar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is earthly Jerusalem. Jesus died in Jerusalem, King of the Jews, born in the city of David, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. Everybody who chooses works over grace, you're in bondage. I feel bad for you, because you've been told and you've been led to believe and you buy it. Well, I'm honoring God because of what I'm doing. No, you're not. No, you're not. God requires 100% perfection. And anything that you do wrong is a disgrace to God. That's why it doesn't work. You're in bondage. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Us all. So who's that woman? Okay, yeah, I would say at Jesus' first coming, it was a representation of Israel, the 12 stars. I get that. He was born of a woman. That woman was from the tribe of Judah. So a representation of Israel. But his second coming, he's got a new body, different body. What body is that? It's the church. Not the one I have now. Thank God. But a new one, because the same mother that birthed Christ births us in our second birth. What you're seeing here, what you're seeing right here, is a picture of being born again. It's drawn right there for you. And I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. When you were born again, the devil was right there, wasn't he? Boy, he was. Okay? So let's read this. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. So this is heavenly Jerusalem. Remember, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Those are heavenly objects. So it's not just, at this point, it's not an earthly representation. It's not just the name, the nation of Israel. This is heaven herself. She is our mother. Okay? Verse 27, for it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. That's Antichrist. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of Mount Sinai, of the law, of the Ten Commandments, of the Old Covenant, of the of Torah. We're not birthed by her. Oh, we were the first time. That brought us a lot of trouble, didn't it? I broke that law again. We're not of children of the bondwoman, but of the free. This child, Christ was born under the law the first time, which means he was born in bondage to the rudiments of this world. When he appears the second time, he appears, the Bible says, without sin unto salvation. I love it. I absolutely love it. So just keep this in mind, because we're going to go a little bit farther with this as we examine the scriptures. We're going to study the sun, the moon, the stars, the travailing, the red dragon. Okay, no, it's not Hannibal Lecter. We're going to look at all this, and we're going to see in verse 5. And I want you to just kind of keep your mind in this direction. We're going to see the translation of the Gentile church in verse 5. Okay? That's what I see here. And I'll show you from Scripture why I believe that. Alright? Again, if you say, you know what, boy, I never heard that before. I don't know about that. Just long suffer with me. Hear me out. Hear what I have to say. Hear the scriptures that I've you know, got together in my mind that leads me to this conclusion. And if you choose to disagree with me, so what? As long as you say, you know what, Mike, I'm with you. No mistakes in the King James. I'm there. Praise the Lord. Okay? I love you. I really do. And respect you. So praise the Lord for that. All right. Next week, we're gonna deal more with this Revelation chapter 12. A lot of good things here. You just study these concepts on your own. Study what it means to be clothed with the sun. Why is the moon under her feet? Why is it there? Why is it not like hanging on a necklace or something like that? Why is it under her feet? Study that. Beautiful, beautiful concept, all right? And it applies to the two covenants, all right? Anyway, God bless you. I love you. Appreciate you. Always keep us in your prayers. Pray for us. Write us. Let us know if we can be a blessing to you. Again, I may not be able to answer all the emails, but I read them and I thank God for you. And I try to answer the questions that you send. Support us if you can. Okay, ask God, you know, Lord, how can we help? And the Lord bless you for that. All right, Pastor Mike here. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.